Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy, recording at 1:24, that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is November 17th. Well, generally speaking, when I start the audio, I keep an eye on this page from Bloomberg, and it gives me a very quick overview. And we can see that stock markets had a pretty good day, and then the silver price was down about 22 cents. When we look at the gold price, it had been higher earlier in the day, but wasn't able to hold on to those gains and finish down on the day. What we're also seeing is that there is a really very strong dollar. The yen has extended its decline, and the dollar is trading now up to almost 110. Now the euro is down to 106.29, and the pound is down at around 124 and a quarter. The other big move in here today was in the bond market. If we have a look at some of those charts, then the silver price, in fact, has failed so far to rally. It has been a really accelerated decline overall, but we haven't had anything in the way of a rally just yet. And a good part of the reason for that is because of the strength of the dollar. And the dollar did extend its advance in here today. Now it is still trading above 100. That's a big psychological level. But you can see from that daily chart that it did not hold on to all of its advance. That we've had a very large move already. There is the potential for some consolidation in this area. But against that background, there are a large number of positive factors for the dollar that really. Not only is it in absolute terms, but also in relative terms. That for every positive factor there is for the dollar, there are negative factors affecting other currencies. And that really is worth considering. So then the dollar doesn't look like it is going to be anything other than a little consolidation here in the region of the psychological 100 level before it moves higher. And one of the reasons then that we can say that is because we are seeing this advance in government bond yields, and that it was reasonably unchanged yesterday, but when this updates, it is going to be higher. And when we look at it on the medium term, then the progression of lower rally highs has been broken. It is now much further above the 200-day moving average than it has been at any occasion in at least the last few years. And then when we just look at absolute values, that the low was closer to 1.3%, and we're now closer to 2.25%. So we have had a substantial advance in yields already. But even against that background, then we're still only at 2.2%, and that's for 10 years. If you look at the shorter end of the curve, well, then when you look at 12-month yields, that we're trading at, give or take, around 75 basis points. So the 12-month yield, so November 2017, is currently pricing in one rate hike. And yet we might have that rate hike as early as December. Then what is the yield going to do? Is it going to stay at 75 basis points? That's really very unlikely, isn't it? It looks like we're going to see the interest rate differential between the USA and just about everywhere else widening. And that's going to put pressure on other currencies. So not only does it act as a tailwind for the dollar, but it acts as a headwind for others, because the US is still by far the largest economy and by far the largest currency. And therefore, if it is more attractive to keep money at home in order to pick up both the currency appreciation, or at least the currency's relative value, and also to pick up the yield, than it is to embark into other parts of the world in order to capture currency appreciation, yield, and market appreciation, then you're going to have a higher incentive. And that higher incentive means higher rates overall. And it really is almost a tale of two cities. When you look at India, for example, the 10-year is accelerating lower. It is, but the absolute level is 6.4%. It just went through 6.5%. Now the rupee is not falling at quite that rate. Now, obviously, the rupee is not particularly strong either, but it is not accelerating lower, at least not yet. Whereas the renminbi is really quite a bit weaker, and of course yields there are also quite a bit lower. So there is definitely an argument for looking at emerging markets on their individual merits, but where we definitely see some risk is overall is in the Eurozone, because we have you just in the next 3 weeks there are some very large decisions that need to be made. One of those is that the Italians are going to have their referendum, the Austrians are going to be having a presidential election, but the Republican wing in France is going to have their primary this weekend. And then I wonder, is that part of the reason that the euro is so weak into this week, that the market is potentially looking at who is going to come out of that as a victor? Now, there are opinion polls that say that Marine Le Pen might have a fairly easy time getting through the primaries, but that she's going to have a much more difficult time, and the conclusion is that it would be impossible for her to win the presidential election because the socialists and the Republicans would ally in order to stop her. Now, unfortunately, opinion polls don't appear to be worth the paper that they're written on, and not least following what happened in the UK and in the USA. Then the market it has no choice but to begin to start to price in the potential for an upset, and that is part of the reason that the euro is so weak. But we do also know that it is coming down towards the lower side of what is an almost 2-year range. The last few times it's been here, it has had these big upward dynamics, and that is what is required on this occasion as well. But then what happens on Sunday in the French primaries is a potential catalyst, and then that could help to both support the euro and also take some of the impetus out of the dollar's advance. So we cannot ignore the fact that despite the news flow, despite the increasing coalescence around the idea that the dollar should be strong, we cannot ignore the fact that we've already had very large moves, and that these are deep oversold conditions for a lot of currencies, deep overbought conditions for the dollar, and that there is the potential for some consolidation. And before those bullish factors for the dollar get reasserted, the U.S. banking sector is really stands out for particular mention, and not so much for what it has done over just the last week, but the fact that it isn't even halfway back up to where it was at the peak in 2007. And if we are moving into an inflationary period, and generally speaking, that would be good for bank margins. If we are moving into a period of deregulation, that would also be good for bank margins. And most particularly, if we can try to forget the massive declines that occurred in 2007 and 2008. One of the reasons that people used to own bank shares was because they paid dividends, was because they had the potential to increase their dividends because they benefited from the margins they got on loans. But of course, those margins were only possible when you had reasonable interest rates. So if interest rates do indeed go higher, then the relative attraction of the banking sector will also be burnished. And there is the potential that this breakout to new recovery highs will be sustained. Now, the banking sector overall is does not really do justice to the extent of the breakout. So you can see, for example, there is Bank of America, and it is really just now breaking out to new highs, and it's really at its highest level since late 2008. This has been a really rather profound change overall, and it is something that I think has taken the market by surprise. But there are significant bullish factors for the banking sector overall that are beginning to coalesce. And more, perhaps more importantly, the banking sector is not expensive. And when one is looking on relative value and looking at value overall, then do you pay 200 times earnings for Amazon, or do you buy Bank of America, which is trading in just about double digits? And there is at least a relative value argument from that perspective. But it isn't like some of these large mega cap shares are going down. They have at least bounced from the region of their respective trend means. And that is, generally speaking, what they needed to do. That they were overextended, they have had the pullback, and now they are firming. And that is about the best possible outcome. But having had such a pullback, and generally speaking, after a mean reversion rally, or sorry, a mean reversion decline, then you get a period of consolidation, where you just need to get at least some time so that the bullish argument can muster once more and sustain additionally higher levels. And generally, that would then translate into the potential for other sectors to outperform through the end of the year and potentially the beginning of next year. What we can also anticipate is that the new administration in the US does not take power until January 20th, that a lot of the fireworks have already occurred in the US, and that events in other parts of the world may take greater come into more focus over the next few weeks, and Europe certainly is standing out there. The DAX index is obviously it's a total return index, so it is somewhat flattered by the yield, but it has been really quite steady as it ranges above the 200-day moving average. And if the euro were in fact to break downwards, then I think that that would be positive for the German DAX overall. But I think that a lot of people are wary of Europe because of political risk, and that political risk is certainly something that cannot simply be ignored. I think a lot of cautious investors would be looking elsewhere, and be willing to forego the initial advances in Europe in favor of waiting for some of the political uncertainty to be resolved. Meanwhile, Japan today announced that it was willing to buy limitless amounts of JGBs at a negative yield. I think it was, and this is my memory is probably going to be incorrect, but it was a negative 6 or 7 basis point bid. And it got no takers, so nobody was willing to sell bonds at that level. But it does indicate that the Bank of Japan is willing to do whatever it takes to hold that yield at zero. So it is in fact a we could potentially rename the Japanese program QE3, that there are limitless purchases on the cards here. And that has put pressure on the yen, and the Nikkei was pretty much unchanged in here today, but it is up 487 points so far this week, and it is increasingly looking like a one-way trade as long as the yen continues to weaken. But even there, the 110 area is somewhere that we would anticipate potentially that the yen finds at least near-term support. It is oversold in the short term, so we could get a little bit of a pause in consolidation. And I suspect that the next few days we're going to get at least some news in the currency markets that gives the market cause for at least a pause and consolidation. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.